This is Napkin Scribbles, a podcast by Arthur and Professor Leonard Sweet. Today's Napkin Scribble is sponsored by Portland Seminary of George Fox University. For more information, join them on the web at portlandseminary.org. Now here's Leonard Sweet.
Welcome to this new season of Napkin Scribbles, a Jesus primer for a common humanity. And this alphabet of keywords from around the world today is focusing on the R word. And it's a word that you can say in French and sound really smart, resourcement, or you can say it just resourcement in English. It sounds kind of bland to say resourcement. But if you put a two S's in there, R-E-S-S-O-U-R, resourcement, a resourcement or a resourcement human. It comes from the French Vatican. One of the papacy is, you could call it the world's most ancient dynasty, and you could also call it one of the world's most successful global corporations. And they use this word all the time. It literally means resourcement or resourcement. It literally means a return to the sources. But it's come to mean, a return that leads us forward. So it's come to mean revisiting the past toward the end of facing the future. Now, theologian and priest David Tracy coined the phrase hermeneutical retrieval. And he uses, I love this phrase, to describe when you recover a past tradition from its original sources and insights and you appropriate it to your current setting. And in the process of resourcement or resourcement and retrieval, the tradition is incarnated in a way that makes it ever ancient, but ever new. It's like the one eye back, two eyes forward, faithful householder who brings forth the old and the new. The old of a critical sense of the past must be yoked to the new of a sanctified imagination for the future. And it's not by accident that this bringing of the past and the future together, called resourcement or resourcement, comes out of the Roman Catholic and not the Protestant traditions. Protestantism separated the living from the dead. The dead were no longer part of the prayer life of the living, nor could the dead intercede in heaven for their dear ones still living. But the Catholic tradition kept this connection to the past. Now, we're also seeing in cognitive science the importance of this, because the same neural mechanisms in your brain that enable you to remember something in the past are the very same neural mechanisms that enable you to visualize the future. So the two things that belong together, which I've struggled with all my life because people thought I was such an oxymoron, I'm a historical theologian, but I'm a futurist and semiotician, is actually the same thing, because you're using the same neural mechanisms, the same brain machinery to do one as the other. So the better you get at retrieving the past and understanding it, the better you should be at visualizing and visualizing the future. Every epoch should carry echoes of earlier epochs and eons. But new contexts demand new languages. New settings demand new speech. New words are required for new worlds. And a church that is on the move and in mission is less focused on restoring yesterday than on restarting tomorrow. Besides, you can't restore the past, but you can restart the future by revitalizing the past. In fact, antiquity can make change and innovation easier because it lends aura and authority to what appears strange and daring. I just say a spoonful of old-fashionedness can make the medicine of newfangledness go down. God breathes in, let there be. God breathes out, and there was. Let there be, and there was. In the same way, human intention becomes invention, because we're made in God's image. Breathe in, breathe out. That was now, this is then. My favorite analogy of resourcement is the swing. And the new theory among physicists about how the swing works. Previous theories revolved around the principle of parametric instability, which pivots the action of swinging at the middle of the arc and the rocking forward into a higher center of gravity. But William Case of Grinnell College, a few years ago, while watching how children actually swing, has theorized a new principle called driven harmonic oscillation, or what I call parabolic harmonious oscillation, where the key to the swing is not in the middle of the arc, but each end of the arc, where and when the swingers do two opposite things at the same time. Lean back, that's the ancient, and throw their feet forward, that's the future. One word, ancient future. Now, I have a taxonomy of resourcement that I put in the book, Jesus Human. And if you're interested in this, it's pretty detailed and extensive. The 6R taxonomy of a resourcement human includes resilience, redundancy, randomization, resonance, reason, and rapture. Let me give you those again. Resilience, redundancy, randomization, resonance, reason, and the last one, rapture. And that's the one I want to spend just a little time as we end this Napkin Scribbles, because I think rapture is a word that has been misconstrued in so many ways. The ultimate rapture is not one that takes us out of the world, but one that takes us into this world for out-of-this-world experiences. Now, I grew up in a pre-millennial, pre-trib home. We're constantly looking for the rapture. And Jesus is returning. Remember, he's risen, rising, reigning, and returning. But the ultimate rapture that we can experience now, we don't have to wait to be raptured. The ultimate rapture doesn't take us out of this world, but takes us into this world for out-of-this-world experiences. Catholic social worker Dorothy Day defined rapture as a burning fire of tenderness and love. I love that. A burning fire of tenderness and love. My Joseph Campbell, the mythologist, who George Lucas, by the way, called him my Yoda, and Abraham Maslow talked about moments of rapture as the key to understanding this culture. But the essence of the human hunger, according to these quote Yodas or whatever you want to call them, mythologists, the essence is not something to believe in. We're easy believers. We can believe in anything and everything. But it's the rapture of an experience of being alive. Or like the Song of Songs puts it, you have ravished my heart with a glance of your eyes. Humans hunger for the rapture of ravishment, for the rapture of a life story, especially the ravishment of a rapturous life story that snaps, crackles, and pops. Now remember, warning, every rapture involves some rupture. So to be truly raptured involves some sundering of our attachments and our investments and our attention and our preoccupations. The 16th century Spanish noblewoman, Teresa of Avila, suffered from what she called an embarrassment of raptures. That's her phrase. She would float off into other realms of consciousness and faint when triggered by joy, remorse, beauty, and love. These kinds of faintings were not seen as weakness, but as strength. In fact, in romance novels, it's the greatest lovers and the greatest warriors who faint. Now, we're to faint not, meaning get weary in well-doing. But at the same time, maybe it's time that we fainted a little more with the rapture of being alive in Jesus Christ.
Thank you for listening to Napkin Scribbles. This episode contains notes and thoughts from Jesus Human, Primer for Common Humanity, Dr. Leonard Sweet's latest book, which can be found on Amazon.com. Remember, Napkin Scribbles is brought to you by Portland Seminary of George Fox University. For more information, join them on the web at portlandseminary.org. For author and professor Leonard Sweet, happy scratching and scribbling.